Please take your seats. School is now in session.
Welcome to Homeschooled Podcast.
Homeschooled.
The Homeschooled Podcast. Why? Because he was homeschooled.
It's time to document the journey. Welcome back to Homeschooled Podcast. What's up, everybody? Look at me. I'm some kind of an amateur. I didn't do a sound check or anything. Let me turn my mic up a little bit. There we go. Welcome back to Homeschool Podcast. It's great to have you with us. I hope you guys had a fantastic weekend. Look at me. I just finished my workout. I'm sitting here sweating buckets. Feels good to sweat. And I just figure right after a workout, I got my heartbeat going and everything. Let me sit down and do a one-on-one with you people. And I want to know, you know, I want to check in with you guys and know how is everything going. So we'll get to that in just a second. But really quick, I'd like to remind everybody that I will be in Portland this week. I'm in Portland and Seattle this week. So, July 14th, I'm in Portland, Oregon. And then July 15th, I'm in Seattle. So one show each night. And so there's only one chance to see me if I'm coming into a town. I don't know when I'll be back again. Maybe not even until a year. So it'd be great if you guys could stop by. I would really appreciate it. So go to homeschooledpod.com and click on tour, and you can find all the links to whichever show you want to attend and get yourself some tickets. And you know, it's always limited seating what I do, because number one, of all the COVID bullshit, you know, everybody's not at full capacity at every single state. But number two, I'm not your big fucking celebrity comedian where I'm doing big theaters and shit. So the places I do are like limited 60 seaters, you know. So it'd be great to meet you guys, and I really appreciate the support. And if you rocking a t-shirt when you show up, that'd be great too. If not, I ain't mad at you. But if you can, please go to the website. Even if you're not going to a show, it's a great way to support the podcast and stand-up comedians and performing artists, as all the money for t-shirt and merch sales always goes towards helping pay for the flights and for myself and the openers, as you know, the clubs right now are not really paying for that, so it helps out. So go to homeschoolpod.com, click on merch, and check it out. I've got the you know, you've seen the Only Love Can Save the World t-shirt. It's pretty cool. I get compliments all the time. So like, even if people don't know what my podcast is, it's still just a great message and a great shirt to have. But I have a brand new one where the back has like all my tour dates, and that's a pretty cool limited edition one to have. So once again, go to homeschooledpod.com, click on merch, and you know, you'll find everything right there. And also all the links for tickets and the merch will be in the description of this podcast. And the last thing, and this is going to ease us into a little bit what we're going to talk about today, so pay attention to this part. This part is really important. If you go to homeschooledpod.com and you click on contact, you can send a little message and those go directly to me. Okay, I get those, I read those, and here's why I bring it up. I'm checking in with you people in this episode, and I want to hear from you on a couple of things. So, number one, I want to talk about some stuff that's going to be good advice for up-and-coming new comedians, or comedians that haven't even really started yet, but they're thinking about it. What topics do you want to talk about? What questions do you have for me? So I'm going to do a whole episode on that in the future. So this is your opportunity. So if there's something that you want specifically to be talked about, definitely message me at homeschooledpod.com. Click on contact and then fill out that message card. They come right to me. Okay, so I'm going to be doing that episode later this week. So get on it. All right. So that's one of the things. And the other thing is I want to check in with you guys. You know, I've been here for, I don't know what this is, episode 300 and something, whatever, years, been doing this before the pandemic, during the pandemic, and now after. And you guys have heard my pretty hard opinion on a lot of things, you know, COVID related and riot related, and just, you know, from the point of view of a performing artist, and from somebody who's kind of fought for us to not be on the bottom of the essential list. And so you kind of know where I stand with it. So I want to check in with you people and see how you're doing now that things are coming back. Are they coming back to where they used to be? What changed? What is it that you're having to deal with now that there is a comeback? Are you still scared? Or are you not even caring anymore? Are you fully ready to go back out? And I'm not trying to do like a survey or anything. I just know that there's people that that need to talk, and I know that you know, I need to talk. Listen, guys, I'm sitting here. I'm a guy in a garage. I'm just like you. I just did a workout. I'm sitting here talking to you people, like, you know, like you're right here with me. So just having a conversation, and I know that, you know, things have come back, and some things same, and then some things different, and then the things that have changed, some things for the worse, and some things for the better. And then maybe it's not even worse. It's just different, you know, and you're just learning how to deal with it. I'm sure all of you guys are going through that, which is why I want to hear from you. I'm just using this time to check in. So one thing, you know, you've heard me kind of talk about that I resented the comics that were super, super, you know, lockdown, scared of COVID. We ain't going back on stage. We don't miss it. We're not going to go until there's plexiglass. We're not going to go until there's a vaccine. I don't miss comedy that much. It's not worth it. Those guys, you've heard my resentment towards them, especially, you know, the guys that I've offered work to throughout the pandemic, and they turned me down. And I've mentioned to you guys that I have resentment, and I feel like I don't want to even, you know, offer them work again because of that. And then, you know, that I felt that I have resentment towards the comics that right away after the government told us we were allowed to be open, they were right away on lineups again. And I felt like, you know, like I said, resentment because, you know, they weren't diehard. And then when things were safe, they were back out there. They were taking all the spots. You know, and I have resentment towards them. I think I have a right to. I think that there's merit behind my feelings. I don't think I am right necessarily. Like, I could be wrong, and what's it to me? You know what I mean? And at the end of the day, is it just jealousy? And it might be. But, you know, I've also think that there's some the other way around. Like, I mentioned to you guys that I didn't want to do Zoom shows. Now, I come from the standpoint of, like, I'm a performing artist. And I don't want to do an online show. It's not the same. And it isn't. This is not lies, I'm telling you. It's not the same as doing an in-person live stand-up comedy show, okay? It's just not. So throughout the pandemic, I got offered many times to do a Zoom show, and I would turn them down. No, I took two. I told you guys about the one that was like, it was legit, though. It was in a studio. It was a professional recording. And there was interaction with an audience through it. An app. That one was fine. And then I did another one for a friend because he asked me to, and he said that he would pay me. So I did that. But besides that, a couple of people asked me, hey, do you want to do my Zoom show? And I turned every single one down because, you know, for the most part, I was boycotting any kind of online stand-up comedy. You know, well, you know, I went and watched YouTube videos of concerts. Now, does that make me a hypocrite? No, because I was watching concerts that were once recorded in front of a live audience. And, you know, I'll go watch stand-up specials that are recorded in front of a live audience. But I don't want to watch a stand-up special of a guy in a room with no audience. It's not the same. I've painted this picture for you guys before, if you've been listening to this show, that, you know, it's just not the same. Is you know, like I've said before, you always want to go to, like, let's say you always want to go to Paris. And then I Google image the Eiffel Tower. You know, it's not the same. You know, if you want to see, you know, Starry Night by Van Gogh, sure, you can Google an image of it, but it's like, if you're a big fan of the artist and the art, you want to go to the museum, and it's like, there's a feeling, you know. And the live concerts I watched on YouTube were, you know, just a substitute, but not doing the real thing of going to a concert. Now, speaking of things coming back, I'm excited. I have a lot of, I actually have a couple of live events I'm going to. Like, in the end of September, I'm going to a 21 Pilots concert. Super excited for that. And then I think it's in October, like mid-October, May Day Parade. No, I'm sorry, not May Day Parade. The Struts. And then I'm going to a Patriots game on Halloween. You know, they're playing out here in LA for like the first time ever in years. So, you know, I'm excited to be back at live events again. Things are coming back. I'm excited that I am a live event. Like, I'm touring right now. Like I said in the beginning, you can see me in Portland this week. You can see me in Seattle this week. Next month, I'm in Boston. The month after that, I'm in freaking Maui. I mean, I have nothing to complain about. Things are back. So that's what I mean, like, some things changed. Like, I wasn't even working as consistently like I am right now before the pandemic. You know, I don't know if that's because of it. Like, is it because there's such a demand for live entertainment because people are hungry to go out and be entertained again? it's probably partially that. And then also, is it a lack of entertainers? Because some of them are, you know, they moved away to other places, or they're still not ready to go out on the road again. So is that why I'm getting so much work? I don't know. I don't know, you guys, but I hope that it doesn't slow down again. So that's what I'm dealing with right now. But the point was that I was getting at is that I turned down a lot of online Zoom comedy shows. And now that things are opening back up again, those guys are going back to their in-person shows. And I'm sure they feel the same way about me of like, I'm not going to give that guy a spot. When I offered him spots during the pandemic online, he shit on my online thing, which I didn't really shit on. I respectfully declined and said, you know, online shows aren't really my thing, and I don't really want to do them. I was really respectful, but, you know, still, the way I feel about comics that said they didn't want a spot during a pandemic, they weren't ready to go out, someone might feel that same way to me because I turned them down for their online gig. So I'm dealing with that. I'm dealing with that I am on the road a lot now, that when I am here in LA, I'm not getting as many spots as I'd like in my home base. Now, I don't want, you know, to transition to, now that things are opening up, of me being like a road comic only, you know. I never wanted to become one of those guys. Of course, I wanted to work the road because you want to consistently to make a living doing what you want to do. But I also never wanted to just be a road guy only. Like, you know, the guys that, I never understood the guys that lived in LA and paid the high rent, and they were like touring, but when they came home, they stayed home. They didn't go out and do spots at like all the local clubs. Like, I don't want that to happen. And it's a bit challenging because the days that I'm gone are usually weekends. Or this week I'm gone Wednesday, and I don't get back till Saturday. You know, so I'm gone like, and that's when the comedy is. It's like Wednesday through, you know, the weekend. And so when I'm home, it's like Monday. And the Comedy Store is closed on Monday, and there's not a whole lot of comedy going on unless you're like past those clubs, which I'm not, you know. So, or at least not all of them, you know. So I'm still kind of like, I'm thankful to be working the road so much. 2 years ago, if you would have told me I was working this much on the road, I would have been like, man, I that's great news. But there's a, you know, you gotta have a perfect balance. Like when I'm here, I don't want to be forgotten about. I want to get spots. And I'm just dealing with, you know, the scheduling. You know, some places don't really want comics hanging out. You know, some are stricter than others. And then, you know, they're not back at their regular hours just yet. So, you know, it's things are back, but it's like, how are you adjusting to the changes? Because it's not back to normal. It is and it isn't, you know. I mean, compared to what it was, it's great. It's fantastic, you know. We're in person with people. It's wonderful, but it's still not, you know, like a couple episodes, my buddy Nick Galarza was saying, like, the morale is still not back. Now, you have your people that, like, I don't know about you guys, but if you've been reading about what's going on in Maui, you know, Maui, like, really was, or Hawaii was really locked down because of the pandemic. And it's understandable. They're an island, you know. They don't want, like, you bringing your virus and contaminating their whole island. Like, I get that. So now that it's been open for a couple months, everybody's going to Hawaii. Like, everybody. I was on the plane going, I forget where I was going, maybe Texas or something. And I was sitting next to this couple, and they were like, oh, we're going to Maui, you know. You know, I know a lot of people that went, relatives. People are just partying over there. It's just like, they got a bunch of money from the pandemic. You got your pandemic reliefs. You got your unemployment, the extra $600 a week, and then the extra $300 a week. And you're like, you know, my kids aren't going to school. And, you know what I mean? I'm not really working. I got extra money. People are going and traveling and doing stuff. So, you know, but I think that they will start to get back to normal eventually, like, you know, this fall. School's going to be back in person, you know. Unemployment stops pretty soon, I think August or something like that. I think some people's are getting extended, but probably not if you've been on it for over a year. So that's something to think about too, guys. Be prepared. Like, you know, everybody here, they'll go like, I'm going to hang on and collect my unemployment to the very last dollar. But that's kind of, I hear you, that makes the most sense. But also, guess what? At that time, you're going to go out and try to look for a job. And then everybody's going to be looking for a job at the same time as you. Right now, people are begging people, like, we're hiring, we're hiring, we're hiring. Fuck it, man. There's only like a month or two left. Fuck the unemployment for, that's what I would do. Fuck the unemployment for the last month or two. Because right now, people, places are hiring. You can probably get a job at like a really good position, as opposed to if you waited, you'll be competing with a lot of people, and the better positions are not going to be available. So this is like your chance to promote yourself. I've talked about promoting yourself in the past on here. And I, you know, I'm no genius. I've learned this stuff from other guys that are wiser than me and been doing comedy and you know, managing their own career for years. I learned this stuff of 12 years of doing stand-up comedy and working in the comedy clubs and opening for legendary guys that I get to work with. I'm blessed to have learned this stuff. So I'm not telling you like I'm some know-it-all genius. I learned this from people better than me. And I'm telling you that, you know, you promote yourself. So like if you're emceeing, for example, and you're emceeing, you're hosting. Every time, you know, you want to be a comic and you've been doing comedy 2-3 years now and everybody books you to MC, right? And you want to work your way up to feature. You're like, hey, you know I got 25, 30 minutes. Between 20 and 30 minutes, you're like, I know I got it, but only people want to give me MC work. So I can only do, you know, 7 to 15 tops is all anybody's letting you do. And you just go like, I don't even like MCing. I want to just be a comic. How do you promote yourself to featuring? And it's simply that you have to take a big sacrifice and turn down all the MC work. And you're going to go, well, I'm not going to get any spots anymore then. Listen, go to your friends, go to people that trust you and you trust them. And even if there's not that many of them, go to the people you know and you go, guys, give me a shot once and let me feature. You know, the guys, just let me feature one a month. You know, just one a month. So you're going to have a couple featuring. Then people are going to see you featuring more often. And then they're still going to offer you the MC work, but you're still going to have to turn it down. That's a sacrifice. Now, that's a sacrifice that you're going to have to make. Don't come crying to me, well, Agostino told me not to take him. Now I ain't got no spots. But no, that's what's going to happen. And are you willing to sacrifice no spots for a little bit? Besides the ones that you can go to your friends and please get me spots wherever you can, but I just don't want to MC anymore. So that's how you promote yourself. Now, I have promoted myself. I did the same thing, MC to feature. And I've been featuring for a long time, you guys, a long time. I'd say total between like 8 and 10 years I featured for Joey Diaz. I'd say maybe I opened for him for 10 years total, featuring maybe 7 or 8. Okay, before that I was emceeing. I promoted myself, you know. Now there's, you know, everybody sees me featuring for fucking Mad Flavor, then they would all throw me feature spots. And I didn't want, hosting spots. I didn't want to host. I was doing it for Joey because I couldn't turn him down because he was like my brother and he was helping me out. I'm not going to seem ungrateful. And there's certain guys you don't say no to. You do it. You take it, okay? Have common sense about this, guys, okay? Don't be like, oh, Agostino told me not to take no more MC spots. Guys, fucking Chappelle walks up to you and he goes, I need an MC. You fucking do it, okay? You can see where there's opportunity. Joey Diaz was packing fucking theaters. He was packing comedy clubs. And, you were emceeing, but also like you did the same amount of time as the feature because he gave you a good amount of time. And you were there having a ball hanging out with your friends, okay? So be smart about it, all right? So like I did that for years. And then like, you know, for the past four, you know, I opened for a bunch of guys. A couple of times I featured for Darren Carter. I featured for Steve Simone. And then I also did it for like maybe 2 or 3, 4 years for Jimmy Schubert. More recently, I featured for Tripoli. Now, you've heard me say this again. If you've listened to my podcast, you've already heard me say this, that I'm now at a point where I will not feature. I will not feature unless it is for a certain headliner. Okay. And it's not because I'm better than people and it's not because I got an ego or anything like that. Guys, I still go to the open mics and I fucking wait my turn and I let all the other guys who are, you know, doing it less time than me fucking do their thing and I support them. This is not an ego thing. It's nothing to do with ego. It's about I've paid my dues. And if you don't promote yourself, somebody else has to, okay? So I have told myself this now, especially this year. Like I kind of told myself last year, but then the pandemic happened and I kind of took whatever I could get. So 2019, I was starting to say like, I'm not going to feature no more unless it's for this guy, this guy, this guy. But you got to gauge it, guys. You know, if there's somebody with such a big following that they don't care, you know, who you are, I mean, take it. All you're going to do is get more eyes on you and you'll have more fans. Like, you know, I don't want to deal with, because it came to the point of a lot of people after the show telling me that I should have been the headliner, okay? I ain't trying to say this because I want to suck my own dick, okay? I'm telling you this because it's the truth. And that's fine. Let them say that. Some people say, hey, if I could tell you the truth, I've heard that a lot. And it's not because I'm so great. Everybody's opinion is different, you know what I mean? I heard it a lot even when I was open for Joey, and we all know he's a fucking beast, and I got no business following him, and I hope I never do, okay? But I even heard that back then. It's because, you know, guys would be giant fans of his, and they go out, and they bring their wives or girlfriends, and the wives or girlfriends always liked me better because, like, for whatever reason, like, I talk about my wife a lot and, you know, things like that. So there's always that. But then there was the reason I don't like it. It's because I don't want to hear the headliner hearing that shit or even thinking it to themselves, because then they go like, you know, I'm not going to ask this guy back again. Or what happens a lot, and I'm not making this up, is a lot of the times the headliners, you know, they're never going to admit that they're having a hard time following you. So what they're doing is they're coming to me and they're asking me not to do certain bits. Now, if you come to me like a gentleman, if you come to me like a human being and you just say like, hey, you know, that particular bit is similar to mine, or, which is, by the way, not what they were saying to me, but that's an example, or that bit that you do is a little too dirty, and I don't like to follow dirty, or that bit's too dirty, and my audience doesn't like dirty, you know, I can't work with guys that work dirty. So if you give me a heads up, hey, don't be dirty, I won't. I'll be professional, I'll do the job you pay me to do, I'll still have great sets, okay? But I don't like to be told not to do certain bits. I'm a stand-up comedian, I'm an artist. Now, if you want that freedom, you got to build an audience. And that's how you get that freedom. They're your audience. They're there to see you. They know the type of material you do. That's why I loved opening for Joey, because, you know, people knew who he was, and you can be as dirty as you wanted to or not wanted to. You talk about anything, you know, you weren't going to shock anybody. But I just don't like people telling an artist how to do their art. But you got to go through that. You got to pay your dues. And you got to get to the point where you don't want to do that anymore. And that's freedom. Freedom of creativity. Freedom of the artist. And how do you get that freedom? You get freedom by money. You got to get money. Because if you got money, you can do whatever the fuck you want. If you got money, you can make your own movie. And you ain't got no studio telling you, I don't like that scene. You go, yeah, well, go fuck yourself. I paid for the fucking movie. I like that scene. I'm funnier than you. I know funny. Okay? That's power. And that comes from money, and that comes from freedom. Now, how do you get all that kind of freedom? It's from building your audience. Your audience loves you. That's why you can never cancel culture of Joey Diaz. That's why you can't cancel fucking Joe Rogan. Because you can't take something away that you didn't help somebody get. You guys got to build your own audience, and I'm still working on that, you guys. I'm fucking small potatoes, you know. Some of you guys have been doing comedy 3 years. You got more followers than me. I'm still learning. You struggle with the fucking technology. You struggle with all the competition in the world. But the point is that at least I know the goal. I know the goal is to build your audience, that I can have my audience, and they're there to, you know, they know me. I can talk about whatever I want to talk about. They know they're going to hear, you know, an artist who is creative and might talk about any subject, whether it be dirty or not. Okay? That's the goal. So you get to do that a little bit more when you're a headliner. Now, I don't mean just a headliner. You get to do that when you're a headliner and you have your own audience. Because you might be a headliner but not have the following. And then the club's going to come to you and tell you, you know, don't do that bit. Because it's Saturday, the early show, our clientele is like fucking old white people. We don't want to hear that dirty bit. And then maybe they won't tell you. And then they just won't book you ever again. Okay? So if you got an audience, you can ask, nobody's going to tell you that. No one's going to tell you, don't do that bit. Our early show's cleaner. You'd be like, your early show's my audience. They came to see me. So that's what you do with the power of people who come to see you. Never stop building your audience. So that's why you got to have common sense. Somebody asks you to open for them and they have a big audience. That's more eyes on you for you to build yours. Okay. So I was telling myself from, you know, 2019 that I don't want to open for anybody anymore except for these specific people. If Joey Diaz asked me, I'd feature for him. If Jimmy Schubert asked me, I'd feature for him. If San Tripoli asked me, I'd feature for him. And off the top of my head, that's about it. I don't want to open for nobody else anymore. I don't want to open for people that want me to be clean. I don't want to, you know, open for people that are going to have me go like, don't do that bit. Or, you know, question the fact that I'm, you know, my closer's too strong or too dirty and they can't follow it. So I just told myself I'm not going to do it anymore. And that's how you promote yourself. So, you know, if fucking, I don't know, to throw a name out there, nothing against anybody. I mean, I probably shouldn't even say a name. This is literally off the top of my head, like a fucking, you know, Esther Koo asked me to feature for her. I'd probably say no. I love Esther Koo. She's great. I love working with her. She's a good friend, and we've done shows together before. And honestly, guys, it's just the first name that rolled out of my head. I'm not going to do it. It's a big sacrifice because I'm sure it's going to be a fun gig. I love working with her. You know, I should take any gig I could possibly can. And that's what they tell you. Fucking take everything. Take everything. Take everything. Half of what I'm telling you is horrible advice. You know, you might want to. The other advice is fucking take everything. You never know who's going to be in the crowd. You never know who's going to see you. You never know who's going to be like, that guy's funny. And, you know, I'm going to have him headline next time. So you got to do stuff like that too. But you got to gauge it right, you know. I'm not going to do your room in the middle of nowhere where the people that don't know comedy and the book, it's a bar. So, but like, you know, somebody asks you to do like the improvs. That's an opportunity for you to get up in front of their bookers. Maybe they'll headline you if you're that good, right? So guys, just have common sense about it. But the point is that you got to make sacrifices in order to promote yourself. Now, I've promoted myself coming out of this pandemic because I said that in 2019. I said it somewhat in 2020, but in that year I took whatever the fuck I could. And then I'm saying it in this year. I sacrificed, you know, people offering me stuff and I'm saying no. I mean, if it's LA, I'll do any spot you want. But, you know, to do a gig, I want a headline. Because I don't want to have that, you know, don't do that bit or don't be dirty or, you know. And the only reason why the guys I mentioned I'll do is because they have their own audience. So people don't really give a fuck what the fuck I say. They don't care if I crushed it. You know what I mean? The comic don't care because they're like, these people are here to see me no matter if you crushed it or not. And then also, those guys are beast comics, and it didn't matter if I crushed it or not because they're going to crush it even harder. So that's where I'm at with it. But I used the pandemic to come out to promote myself. And whatever line of work that you're in, I think that you can probably get away with doing the same thing. When you come out of this, you can come out not necessarily back at the same level you were, but maybe come out at the next level up, promote yourself to the next higher position. And I think you may actually have an opportunity to do that here coming out of this pandemic. I don't know. I'm just talking with you guys. I'm sure every situation is different, but I'm sure you can do it. You know, you never know. Like, you might be hanging on to that unemployment way too fucking long, and you come out, and maybe the last position you had is now gone. Come out of unemployment a little bit early and fucking get that job at the top because people are hiring right now. This, and then, you know, now is the time where people are desperate to hire. You might be able to afford to make sacrifices to go, I'm holding out until this position. But if you wait too long, you may not, you know, you have that flexibility to negotiate for the position you want. You got to take whatever you can get, right? At the very least, you know, you're going to get exactly where you were, or it could be lower. So use this to promote yourself. So that's it. That's what I wanted to talk to you guys about. But I want you guys to talk back to me. I want to hear, how are you guys coming out of this pandemic? Are you noticing it's back? Are you noticing what has changed? What are you having a hard time coming back to? You know, what position do you want to promote yourself to? And how do you do that? How do you get there? If you guys just want to talk, please. And then also, like I mentioned, my second episode this week is going to be talking about up-and-coming comedy, okay? I'm going to have a guest on. He's a young comic who hasn't even been doing it in a year, and I saw him in Austin. He opened one of the shows, and the guy was, like, guy is fucking talented. He's going to be a great comic. He hasn't even been doing it in a year yet, and he's great. I'm going to have him on next week. But since we're talking to a brand new comic, I want to hear from some of you guys. What questions do you have for me, a more experienced comic, you know, 12 years in, not the most experienced, but still pretty damn experienced. I've opened for a lot of guys. I worked at a comedy club doing stand-up 12 years, okay? So if you got questions for me, if you got questions for the new guy who's only been doing comedy less than a year, or what topics do you want to make sure that we talk about because you're thinking about starting stand-up or you already have and you're struggling with this, we want to make sure that we're talking about the thing that you are interested in. So make sure that you message me, homeschooledpod.com, homeschooledpod.com. Click on contact and write, fill out that message card. It's going to come right to me. I want to hear what you guys have to say, okay? And while you're there, you can click on merch and pick up a Homeschool Podcast t-shirt, or you can click on tour and see, get tickets to see me live. Portland, Oregon, I'll see you this week, Wednesday. Seattle, I'll see you Thursday. It's July 14th to 15th, Portland, Oregon, and Seattle, Washington. I'm coming, okay? It's one show, one only at each night. So Portland, Oregon, Seattle, Washington, July 14th and 15th. Get tickets at homeschoolpod.com and click on tour. All right, you guys, it's been great. And you might want to start getting your tickets for August, because I'm coming to the Worcester, Massachusetts area, and Lee Syatt is going to be opening for me. So it's a pretty limited seating. It's like only a 50-seater. So if you guys want to come out to that, I suggest start getting tickets now. Again, homeschoolpod.com. Click on tour. All right, you guys, thank you so much for the love and support and for sitting here talking with me after I had a sweaty workout in this fucking sauna of a garage. But it's wonderful to see you. Have a fantastic week. Be productive. Use the downfall of the world to your benefit by its comeback. You rise with it, okay? Go out there and promote yourself. I'm Augustino Zoida. Don't forget that only love can save the world. This is Homeschooled Podcast. See you guys next time.
Homeschooled Podcast.
Homeschooled.
The Homeschool Podcast. Why? Because it was homeschooled.
I don't want to do that.
Okay.
I don't want to.